Today on Real Radio.
For 2,000 years, church, listen up. Scholars have agreed on this, that verse 18 is one of the most difficult verses in all of the Bible to properly interpret. Why? Is it because it's unreliable? No. Is it because it's confusing? No. Is it because it's vague? Oh, no. Is it because there's a lack of biblical support behind it? No way. The exact opposite is true. Check this out.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 10 that tells us of the success in the ministry of 70 unnamed individuals empowered and sent out by the Messiah. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Checking In.
And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This authority and power is seen, listen, when needed. What does that mean? You see, Jack, I love the Bible. The letters are written and read, but I want to receive this in my life. Here's the truth of the matter. Jesus makes verse 18 a true theological declaration. And we'll look at this closely in a moment. I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. That's a statement of fact. Wow. Then Jesus says, all right, look here. This is the power and the authority that's been given to you. You say, well, I want that. You want that. Do you really want that? Here's the thing. This power and this authority is seen as needed. Jesus didn't say to some other group of 70 who sat around the Sea of Galilee fishing, all power and authority I give to you. For what? To catch fish. To sit in a boat and talk. No. No, no, no. You will not have power and authority unless it's needed. Does that bum you out? I want to see some stuff. I want to see some action. I want to see legs growing and eyeballs coming out. I don't know. I want to see some movement. I want to see demons running. And then get up and go where it's needed. Then get to Nepal. Get to Bangladesh. Get to South America. Go. Well, why not Newport Beach? Why not here? Get out there. Go to the hospitals and visit people. Yeah, I don't know anybody there. You don't need to know anybody there. They're hurting. They're in need. Go. Reach them. Pray for them. Yeah, but I don't know them. So they don't know you. You're safe. Go pray for them. Listen, it's amazing because what we'll do, we'll go to the hospital to visit with somebody, and then you've got to go by other rooms on the way out of the hospital. And you're a Christian. What's my authority? You're a Christian. I guarantee you, never, ever, ever, never have we ever been stopped to pull into somebody else's bed, pull in there and say, excuse me, would you like prayer? No one's ever said, get out of here. Strangers, yes, yes, please pray. Try it. They don't know you. You don't know them. Put yourself, pray, go, step out, watch what God does, and you'll see power and authority, and you'll be the one most surprised and blessed about what's happening. It's amazing. He's so good to us. We just need to see more of him, but we need to go to where he's at. Jesus is in the inner city, you know. Jesus is among the homeless. Jesus is among the hurting. And so, he says, now listen, we're going to spend some time in this because we need to. It's going to encourage us. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. For 2,000 years, church, listen up. Scholars have agreed on this, that verse 18 is one of the most difficult verses in all of the Bible to properly interpret. Why? Is it because it's unreliable? No. Is it because it's confusing? No. Is it because it's vague? Oh, no. Is it because there's a lack of biblical support behind it? No way. The exact opposite's true. Check this out. For 2,000 years, the scholars have bickered about this thing because the statement is so global. It is such a vast declaration that Jesus makes that the words that he used are very, very present at all times. What I mean by that is what he said was true then, it was true before then, it's true now, and it will be true forever. It's an amazing collection of words that Jesus uses. Very, very powerful. Number one, you might want to jot it down if you care. I hope you do. Number one, the scholars say this. Regarding the past, there was Satan's original fall before the Garden of Eden. That's what Jesus is referring to. Some scholars say that. When Jesus, who is eternal, said, I saw Satan fall from heaven, the word means that he saw, he is seen, and he will continue to see. Let's see how complex it is. In the Greek, it's that pregnant with meaning. So some scholars say Jesus watched and made announcement about the fall of Satan out of heaven when Lucifer, he rebelled against the Lord, got that title Satan, and was booted from his glorious position. You can read about that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. It's about the past. Well, it is, but some scholars regard it concerning the present. That Jesus watched this literally in his spiritual ability to see in the spiritual realm. Jesus saw, watch, Satan fall from heaven while the ministry of the 70 was enacted, while they were serving, while they were ministering, while the 70 were out there doing ministry, Satan fell. He lost his grip, is what the word means. Isn't that cool? I like that. He lost his grip. That's what some scholars say. Another group, this is the final understanding, another group says it's regarding the future. It has to do with Satan getting hit finally at the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the culmination of the age. Finally, culminating in the book of Revelation where Satan is thrown into the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, forever and ever. Could it mean that? Yes, it could. Do you know what? I think these guys sometimes spend too much time in their theological towers. Do you know what I think it means? For 2,000 years, we haven't been able to figure out how does it apply. I think maybe all of the above. All of the above. Is not each of these true? Yes. Is not it awesome that Jesus, at the return of these 70 disciples, Jesus announces, I saw Satan fall from heaven. All of a sudden, when I look at it now, knowing that Satan has been defeated, I get pretty excited. Because all of a sudden now, I want to ask this question, how could this have happened? I want to know. Satan has lost his grip. Jesus, almost in a sense, in a very romantic way, declares to us, as ministry comes out of the believer's life, Satan loses his grip. You guys, I wish I had the ability to put maybe on the wall here, make it a chalkboard. And in my mind's eye, forgive me, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I take a cat, a black cat, and I throw the cat at the chalkboard. What would you see going all the way down the chalkboard? Scratches of a cat trying to hang on for your dear life as it just goes down that chalkboard. That's the picture. Satan's losing his grip. When the ministry is done by the believer, go. No wonder why Jesus said, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Let me add this. Because it gives Satan a headache. Why? Souls are redeemed. People are rescued. Life is encountered by those who are lost. He's losing his grip. When you pray and share Christ with somebody, Satan's losing his grip. Why is it so hard for us to share with people? Because Satan's going to lose his grip. You guys, if it was so easy, it'd mean nothing. We are involved in a battle, a spiritual battle. Next time, I want you to keep that picture in your mind's eye. If your mind is perverse as I am, you can see a cat just hanging on, going down the wall. Satan's losing his grip. When? When the gospel goes out. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war We do not throw cats at chalkboards according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that is of this world, but mighty in God for pulling down cats, I mean strongholds, casting down cats, I mean arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought that is a wayward thought, alienated from God, under the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And then Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 12. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That ought to get your attention. Ooh. Then what are we wrestling against? You don't want to see it. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. Spiritual realm. Therefore, here's what we do. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, the day that you're under attack. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, here it is, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That is Satan. And he says, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Every time you and I obey Jesus, every time we pray, read the word of God, worship, participate in this thing called church, Satan is wounded. Don't you want to wound him more? He can't stand it. That's why many great Puritans, when you read about their writings and their diaries, like Martin Luther, by the way, how they would be under deep, dark depression, and they would even, Luther even reports, as Spurgeon reports, hearing voices and all this stuff that's driving them crazy, and they'd start praising the Lord, and it would flee. Remember King Saul, when King Saul was freaking out, and he said, man, this demon's tormenting me. Call for a musician, not a magician. Call for a musician. And who, guess who they found? They brought David in, and he starts playing the harp, and it says that the music, the worship that David offered up to the Lord, drove away the evil spirit. Wow. I wonder how much depression the believer goes through when it's not really that someone hurt our feelings, or we don't know why. I don't know why I'm so bummed. Hey, maybe, you know what? Maybe you ought to just start to worship and praise the Lord. If you get better, then chalk it up to throwing a cat at a chalkboard. Satan's losing his grip. The beautiful thing is, how could these demons be subdued like this? Jesus in verse 18 announces it. I saw their boss fall from heaven. Think of that. Look, our boss is falling from heaven. What chance or hope do we have? I love that. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. They were losing their grip. Why would the spiritual realm be affected by the gospel? Three things. Because the gospel attacks satanic powers. The gospel. Number two, because the gospel awakens men's minds to think. Think about it. If you can think. Think about that. Number three, the gospel revives men's hearts to life. You ever seen those things? Clear! When they put the defibrillators on somebody? Clear! Boom. By the way, in the TV program, they go, clear! And the guy goes, man, when they do that in real life, the guy comes off the ground, man. Why? They're trying to get life back into him. The gospel goes out, and when we proclaim the gospel, minds start thinking clearly. Satan's realm is under attack. And while that attack is going on, the person starts thinking about what you're giving by way of gospel, and then their heart begins to awaken. You guys, it's amazing. Think about that. As someone wrote in one of the letters, thank you for the challenge to have us deployed to the community. I like that word, deployed. It's a militant word. What an amazing battle assessment Jesus gives, that Satan's realm is under attack by all those who follow Jesus. And this had never happened before, by the way. Jesus commissioned these 70 to go out. It never happened before. Yes, there were prophets before this. And yes, there were kings that knew God before them, but never like this. 70 people, no names, sent out with great power. What made the difference in these people's lives? They had been commissioned by Jesus himself, so have you. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, so have you. Ordained by the Father to do this, so have you. It's an awesome thing. And so, we also look at this. A new life in Christ means that we've arrived in Jesus. I want to explain that, that we have arrived in Jesus. And I don't mean arrived like we've, you know, all right, we've arrived. That's not what I mean. Arriving like you pull up to something, like you come to something. Verse 20 says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. You guys, don't get all happy about throwing demons around. But rather rejoice because, please mark this, someone in this church must mark this. But rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. That is the greatest thing. Hey, listen, let's be honest. Mark it down. I didn't give it to you, but it comes to my mind. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21. Terrifying verse. Think about it. Jesus said, in that day of judgment, there will be those standing in front of me who will say to me, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do great miracles in your name? Didn't we do all these fantastic things in your name? And Jesus said that he'll turn to them in that day and say, depart from me, you workers of sin. I never knew you. See, how can that be? Church, going to heaven is not through casting out demons. Going to heaven is not by preaching the gospel. Going to heaven, listen, those things should be a result of knowing Christ, but they're not the requirement. There can be those, according to Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 22, that you can do all kinds of signs and wonders and never know Christ at all. Church, are you awake? You need to hear this. I hear it too often, even by people who attend this church. Well, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? His doctrine is absolutely aberrant, anti-Christ doctrine. Yeah, but you know what? He's funny, and he does miracles. Oh, well then, golly gee, let's just roll over and let him come on in and teach all of us. What are we doing? Jesus said, watch out. It's not what somebody can do. It's what they believe. Satan mimicked works before Moses and Pharaoh, did he not? Jesus said in the last days there's going to be things so fantastic done by strange people that if it were possible, even God's very elect would be deceived. Wow. No, the truth is what we're saying, arriving in Jesus, this is what we mean. He says, rejoice that your names are written down in heaven. This is a monumental theological announcement that Jesus gives. It's wild. Jesus is saying, you guys can be rest assured. Church, listen, you guys can be encouraged. Your names are written down in heaven. But Jack, I don't think I can know that. Well, that's your problem. Why don't you read your Bible and rejoice in the fact that if you trust Christ, your name's written down in heaven. Think about it. Jesus said, think about this. You guys, hey, praise the Lord. Don't get all excited about casting out demons. You ought to be happy about this. This should be your source of happiness and joy is that your name is written down in heaven. He tells them that to encourage them. I'm telling you that now to encourage you. Let's be bold. Let's be excited. Let's go. Why? Because our names are written down in heaven. If you do not know that, you need to make sure of that. Because the scripture says that these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life. And if you know it, you got to tell somebody. If you know it, you got to go do it. No one needs to set a fire to you. You can't wait. Wow. Your name is there, my friend. Kent Hughes says in his commentary that if our names are written down in heaven, and heaven is our home, then we ought to act like it. How's that? I love it. Have you ever been invited to something really nice? You get this invitation. Wow. And it's reserved. There's a place reserved for you. What do you do? Well, I know what my wife does. I got to get a dress. And she'll buy a dress, but she has to buy a tie and a shirt. Not for her, for me. Why? Because we're going to something big. A dear friend of this church who attends this church just became, by Schwarzenegger's appointment, he just became a judge on Friday. That's awesome. Wonderful brother. He's been coming here for some 13, 14 years. Loves Jesus. Thank God a righteous judge has been put in place in California. Thank God. Amen. And you get an invitation. You get an invitation to this thing. What do you, listen, you're excited because there's a place at the table with your name. Jesus is saying there's a place at the table with your name. And we need to be dressed up, as it were, in the righteousness of Christ, because we are a believer. You have been clothed with the righteousness of Jesus the moment you said, Lord, come into my life, cleanse me from my sins, and save me. God imputed to you his righteousness. It's a divine act. He does it. Yeah, I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter how you feel. The just shall live by, Let's try it again. The answer is faith. The answer is faith. Okay, it's Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. Not feeling. Faith. The just shall live by
faith.
That's right. Not feelings. Because our feelings rob us every time and rip us off. Heaven is a grand event, and we're to be arriving at that. So try to see this in your mind's eye. Though you and I are living on this time mark, along the age of the church, and eventually we're going to be checking into heaven. Know this, that everything, every day, please, every day, everything, every moment, is it not possible that God wants to be working in our lives because you and I, as we walk this walk, you know, it's called a walk, you know, it means that you obviously eventually get somewhere. Where is it? Heaven. When you pull up to the desk, I'm checking in. Oh yes, your name's right here. Since that's true, this walk of faith in Christ Jesus, we should be moving in such a way, living in such a way with the reality of heaven soon to come. We are arriving at our prescribed destination, and there's a placard with your name. How cool is that going to be? There's a seat there for you, says the scripture, reserved in heaven for you. Point number two this morning, checking in to a new relationship with Christ. This is what these guys found out, and it's this, understanding. A new relationship with Christ brought them to a place of a new understanding. Listen to this, understanding how? The nature of God. Church, listen carefully. Be blessed. You're going to get a picture of the nature of God in verse 21 and 22. It says, in that hour. Will you circle that? In that hour. What does that mean? In that time frame. In that moment. What does it mean? Jesus, as he was listening to the 70 report in. Watch this. While they were reporting, this is what was going on with Jesus. Smiling. We're going to find out. He was actually smiling. We're getting a peek into the nature of God right now. It's almost like we should take off our sandals, right? And our shoes, because we're on holy ground here.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Checking In, a look at Luke chapter 10 and verses 17 through 24. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we do want to remind you of a couple of outreaches we have here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. First, hischannel.com carries our television outreach called Journey with Jack Hibbs. Journey with Jack Hibbs on hischannel.com. His channel also airs our midweek study on Wednesday nights. Just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on the link, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And if you're enjoying our radio and television outreaches, drop us a line and let us know. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills in Southern California and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.